Our Alice Miller readings from For Your Own Good. Quote, crucial for the healthy development of children is the respect of their caregivers, tolerance for their feelings, awareness of their needs and grievances, and authenticity on the part of their parents, whose own freedom and not pedagogical considerations sets natural limits for children. And we discussed that use of freedom last week, so check it out. It is this at the very end, that was the last part of last week's show, the January 10, 2016 show. It is this last point that causes great difficulty for parents and pedagogues for the following reasons. First, if parents have had to learn very early in life to ignore their feelings, not to take them seriously, to scorn or ridicule them, then they will lack the sensitivity required to deal successfully with their children. As a result, they will try to substitute pedagogical principles as prostheses. Thus, under certain circumstances, they may be reluctant to show tenderness for fear of spoiling the child, or in other cases, they will hide their hurt feelings behind the fourth commandment. Second, parents who never learned as children to be aware of their own needs or to defend their own interests because this right was never granted them will be uncertain in this regard for the rest of their life and consequently will become dependent on firm pedagogical rules. This uncertainty, and that's really insightful, isn't it? I mean, this woman is just so important, so brilliant, so critical, never discussed these insights because they would totally call into question the entire class system. Consequently, will become dependent on firm pedagogical rules. This uncertainty, regardless of whether it appears in sadistic or masochistic guise, leads to great insecurity in the child in spite of these rules. An example of this, a father who was trained to be obedient at a very early age may on occasion take cruel and violent measures to force his child to be obedient in order to satisfy his own need to be respected for the first time in his life. But this behavior does not exclude intervening periods of masochistic behavior when the same father will put up with anything the child does because he has never learned to define the limits of his tolerance. Thus, his guilt feelings over the preceding unjust punishment will suddenly lead him to be unusually permissive, thereby awakening anxiety in the child, who cannot tolerate uncertainty about the father's true face. The child's increasingly aggressive behavior will finally provoke the father into losing his temper. In the end, the child then takes on the role of the sadistic opponent in place of the grandparents, but with the difference that the father can now gain the upper hand. Huh. I mean, that is just convolutedly sick. Such situations in which the child goes too far, quote unquote, prove to the pedagogue that disciplining and punishment are necessary. Third, since a child is often used as a substitute for one's own parents, he or she can become the object of an endless number of contradictory wishes and expectations that cannot possibly be fulfilled. In extreme cases, psychosis, drug addiction, or suicide may be the only solution. Often, the child's feeling of helplessness leads to increasingly aggressive behavior, which in turn convinces parents and educators of the need for strict countermeasures. Fourth, a similar situation arises when it is drilled into children, as it was in the anti-authoritarian upbringing of the 60s, to adopt certain ways of behavior that their parents wished had once been allowed them, and that they therefore consider to be universally desirable. In the process, the child's real needs can be totally overlooked. In one case I know, for example, a child who was feeling sad was encouraged to shatter a glass when what she most wanted to do was to climb up onto her mother's lap. If children go on feeling misunderstood and manipulated like this, they will become genuinely confused and justifiably aggressive.